Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Kind of a sad time we're in, you know. We got two of the greatest superstars in the game, faces of baseball, that don't have teams right now, and we're starting. You know, not to mention, I think we've got, I've seen a couple other guys sign the last couple days, but probably close to 100 free agents that are still out there. So, it sucks on our end, you know. Something's got to give. We got to try to figure out what's actually going on with all this stuff and get these guys that, you know, you got guys that had pretty good years last year that are sitting at home right now. So we got to figure this out and what's going on.
Middays on the Score.
That's Cubs pitcher John Lester on the current state of MLB free agency as camps have opened in the Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues. Cliff Floyd, the Chicagoan and former Cub, who is on Twitter at CliffFloyd30, joins us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. He of MLB Network. What's going on, Cliff?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Wonderfully, wonderfully. I wonder, you know, you're not that far removed from playing, Cliff, and you've heard the frustration in John Lester's voice as we came back from break here, talking about as many players as are unsigned and how good they are. Is the frustration something that can, from players, something that will mount to action in the next couple of years as we get to the CBA, or is it more likely that this is just kind of the new way business is done?
Well, I think, you know, it's more of the new way, and I think that John Lester's right. We need the players in the camp, and I think that's, you know, that's just from an ex-player. I think from a fan's perspective, from a league, from the union, everybody wants these players in camp. I think the most important thing is to what you just said, understand the business and knowing what you have to do every single year. I've always said, if you don't have a plan B when your plan A might not come, you know, might fall through, then you're not doing your due diligence as a business guy, right? So I just think these guys, you know, have to understand where the league is today. And each year is different. From the time I retired in 2009 to right now, things have changed. So me speaking like I'm still playing is probably not right, even though I'm an ex-player. I understand the business. It was taught to me early on in my career, and that's when I had to make that decision, executive decision, to no matter what happens with plan A, plan B is in the left pocket waiting to be put on display for me to get off my couch and get to camp.
What were some of your plan Bs at various times?
Plan B was understanding that, well, I might not be able to get what I want. And I think that's the most that's the most important thing for each and every individual that's still out there waiting to get a job. And I don't – look, for me to speak on numbers per se for what you think you deserve or what, you know, what your numbers think they should be for you as far as dollars, it's very hard to say. As we all know, inflation in this world goes up each and every year. So I can't speak on what you should get. What I do know is this. The business has changed. And if you don't understand it, then you will be left out. And that's just bottom line. And I think, you know, the union and the commissioner's office, you know, I know they're starting to talk and all that stuff, and that's a whole new ball game. But as far as the players, you have to understand where you are today and where the business is.
Talking baseball with Cliff Floyd of MLB Network here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Cliff, I wonder, the White Sox have been front and center in the pursuit of Manny Machado, and who knows if they get him, but has their, you know, kind of front-runner-ness changed the way you perceive that team and what they're trying to do with the rebuild?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you look at you know, Ryan Storff and Rick Hahn and how they do things over there, you know, they're trying to make sure that they don't spend in a way where you know, you're not, it don't make sense at the particular time. So you never know what window of opportunity is there for each team. You just, you know, in-house, they believe the Central is wide open. So when you believe that, and you're, you know, you have some youngsters already on board, and then you have some viable, unbelievable players on the market, then you have to go for it when you believe that, you know, look, did you think that the White Sox was going to be, you know, contending or feeling like they can contend this year? Well, I mean, I don't think Rick Hahn said last, last offseason when he made some unbelievable trades and put this team in a position to be better. I don't think he thought that the following year he'll be, you know, trying to go out there and get Manny Machado or whatever the case may be. But I think things change, and it changes your mind, and it changes, you know, how you feel. And if that window opens up, then you go for it. And you can't knock that hustle, because for me, what team in that division is standing alone? I think it's wide open. I really do. So, and if you have the talent, and you have the dollars, then you go for it. And hats off for them for even throwing out an offer of that magnitude.
You mentioned things changing. Spring training has changed a lot too, from being literal training of guys having to get in shape, having worked other jobs or done nothing, to now playing winter ball and working out with various professional independent coaches, and then arriving and being part of the team again. So there is no getting out of shape anymore. The Cubs this year are talking about urgency and intensity and making sure that everything is taken seriously after a disappointing finish to last year. What was your approach and how you balanced coming into camp and understanding that spring training itself is long and there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of physical work to be done? How did you balance professional urgency and intensity with not being an idiot about it?
Yeah, well, I think you know, that's a great question. I think the biggest part was, you know, knowing your regimen and what's worked for you over the course of, you know, two consecutive years, three consecutive years. You know, what you're shooting for is longevity, obviously. But to get longevity, you have to start somewhere. And you're going to have bumps in the road as you go. Mine were, you know, big injuries. Some guys have consistency with that one, you know, guy they have a good rapport with. And you balance things out. If you have a family, you have to also incorporate that. So it's a lot involved with getting ready for a season. But I think, I'm going to keep it real with you. When you have, or you're the star player, or there's numbers on, you know, on a piece of paper, and they're stuck to your bathroom mirror in the morning when you go to brush your teeth, that's motivation, right? I mean, Your pocket's full, you have a roof over your head, you're eating good, then you have to also make sure that you maintain everything that you're going to do to go out there and be the best you can be. And that's how I sort of looked at it. Like, look, I want to maintain this lifestyle. I love my lifestyle. I love my family except for the rest of their life. So I have to go out there and bust my butt. And how did I do that? Well, I knew my regimen from 8 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock. And then when I got into beast mode mentality, which is around January, then it kicked into another gear. That's the hitting, throwing. If I was, you know, I could run a little bit. That was trying to get my legs in shape. And then you go out there and play, because nothing you do in off season can prepare you for 7 o'clock in the morning out there on that dewy grass and it's wet and you're sinking in it and everybody's talking and you sitting there getting tight. It can't prepare you for it. What it allows you to do is go into camp in shape and let them know that you're about business when you step in those doors.
Cliff, that's something that Dan and I have kind of been kicking around the last couple of days. Theo Epstein, after the season ended, talked about a sense of urgency and intensity that he needed to see from his team going into this year that wasn't there as they faded a little bit down the stretch. How do you as a player take that sense, that desire from management into spring training, which will inevitably get too long? Or into early season baseball, where you're asking bullpen guys to go again a third day if the front office is saying, listen, Sunday games are important too. Let's just finish this thing off so we get to 96, 97 wins and aren't stuck at 95 and playing game 163.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a lot of how you go about your, you know, your philosophy with your coaching staff and understanding, you know, the personnel you have in that clubhouse. And And then also, you have Theo that has to go to that right person that will, in the clubhouse, that's going to kick butt and get the guys ready to go every single night. That's the most important thing. See, you know, I think we've heard at times, for me at least, I mean, this is my opinion on it. We've heard at times the veteran player is not really needed no more. I just totally disagree with that. I believe the veteran player gets certain guys in a position to go out there and execute what they need that night to get the dubs, to get to the point, what you just said, 96, 97 wins. And now you're not waiting to the first game of the season, you know, and you're going, well, it's a long season. No, the light switch comes on day one. And, you know, if you're a guy that, you know, you don't feel that your body or your arm can go out there every single day and get the job done, then I know Joe Madden. I've played for Joe. His door is always open. I think Theo, I was with him in Boston, as cool as they come. I think you can go have a conversation. You have to know what you're dealing with every single night and what you're going to get out of, you know, every single guy on that roster. And, you know, for me, watching this club last year and looking at the, you know, ninth inning, I just saw it yesterday, Brandon Morrow, his elbow, he's probably going to miss the start of the season. I know, while those things happen in the sport, it's the next man up. And I think that's the philosophy you have to have. No matter who is in the starting lineup every day, it's go out there and ball. You have talent. You're still young. You had some adversity last year. You dealt with a situation with Addison Russell over there. All these things happen throughout the course of the season that's going to derail you from being the team you want to be. You have to find it within you to go out there and piece it all together and go, look, same guys. We've done this before. You know, let's get it going and go out there and not compete. This is not about competing. When you're really good, you don't compete. You go out there and win. I think they have the talent to do that.
Talking with Cliff Floyd of MLB Network, he's going to be in New Orleans this weekend for the Andre Dawson Classic that spotlights the HBCUs and their baseball programs, calling Florida A&M University against Eastern Kentucky live on MLB Network, 7 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. So it sounds like some fun stuff. I want to ask you, Cliff, about hitting high velocity and how one trains to do that, how one readies oneself athletically to do that. There's all kinds of different philosophies on this. We know some guys are going to get into a cage and crank a machine up to 120 miles an hour and just try to get things timed up. Other guys are better off physiologically starting with flips, doing tee work, seeing slower pitches and working toward it. And I don't know if there is a right or wrong way, but MLB hitters now have to be ready to react to everybody throwing 98, 99, and I just don't know how you personally prepared to do it.
Well, I like hitting fastball, and I think if you're going to have a long, productive career at this level, you're going to have to learn how to hit a fastball or know how to hit a fastball and hit off the fastball. Velocity, I think this is something for our listeners to understand, is velocity means nothing. You know, you have to throw that ball over the plate. Now, if you have late life on your velocity, I mean, you know, on your, you know, fastball, if you have a fastball that cuts, if you have a fastball that sinks, now you're talking about something. But just throwing me a fastball means nothing. And I think that's where it gets lost in, you know, when you talk about these dudes that throw hard and why they don't stick around is because they can't put the ball where they want. So I'm never worried about that guy. To answer direct, how I worked is I like live arms. I didn't hit off machines. I felt like the machine threw off my timing. Live arm gave me a good look of a windup. I could look for where the release point was, and it helped me sort of dive into what I needed when I got in the box. And it was all practice anyway, because nothing you can do, like I told you, nothing you can do in the cages or anything else is going to prepare you for when you get on that field in that dirt and you looking out that pitcher, you know, 60 feet away, and he's like, all right, you know I have a fastball, but I got three other pitches too. So I think those are things where I like to go, and that's how I train my mind when I play, was hit off the fastball. Know the fastball is in his arsenal, but what else does he like to throw? And that's how, for me, you put together a good at-bat and allows you to sort of dive into as opposed to just going up there with no clue. I used to think myself on deck circle, and then when I got off the on-deck circle into the box, then there's no more thinking. I just had to react.
Cliff, one of the things that was in, you know, as we saw some of the rules change proposals that came out between the Players Association and the league, one of the things that got buried in there was the proposal to have a study about what it would look like to either move the mound back or lower it. Would you be interested in results of that study, or would you rather not touch that?
I'm not touching that one. I think the game is headed in the right direction. Obviously, every year you have to prepare for something different. People are going to give you their thoughts on how the game can change. I like a good pitcher's duel when the top pitchers in the game are out there balling, doing their thing. And also like when a lineup is deep and your eighth hitter has 30 bombs as well. So, look, I love where the game is right now. I think other than what's going on right now with our free agents still sitting on the couch, it's frustration for ex-player. That's the only thing I have a problem with. And still, I still believe when we had the situation with the PEDs and all that, right, I think the game – look how the game is starting to turn. Now, obviously, I don't want to jinx anything, but you're starting to see the game clean. You're starting to see players go out there and play the game right away. You see youth come into the game. I'm looking forward. I do Toronto Blue Jays games. I'm looking forward to seeing Vlad Jr. I play with his daddy. These are things I'm looking forward to the game because I think the game is going to head in the right direction.
Yeah, going to be a while maybe because –
3 weeks to see Vlad Jr., right?
You're going to have to wait on Vlad Jr. because they're going to get an extra year out of him if they come up with all sorts of made-up reasons not to call him up.
Yeah, well, you know, those are things, like I said again, when you look at the game and the state of the game, that's a business, you know, situation that the game itself – has started. And if I was owning a team, I always look at it now because I'm not playing anymore, and I will always be pro player because I played. I'd never own a team. I never managed a team, nothing. But if I was owning a team, I put myself in those shoes, I want an extra year of him too. I that's just how I see things differently. I look, right or wrong, I see it the way that, you know, that makes sense in my eyes today, and how I see business models working, how I see, you know, whether you're doing real estate, whether you're doing anything, you know, you see how things work, and you have to make sure you make executive decisions. Now, are these decisions that's going to hinder a guy like Vladimir, you know, Jr.? No. I think he's going to be fine. I think at the end of the day, he's going to make a ton of money. I think the fans are still going to appreciate when he gets there. And then you're looking at a team that's probably going to struggle, right? So, like it or not, I think you have, like, again, you have to understand the direction of the business, and then you'll understand, you know, how these teams go about their business.
Cliff, this is always entertaining. Love talking to you, man. Thank you.
No doubt. Thank you.
That is Cliff Floyd on 7 o'clock Central Saturday. Florida A&M, Eastern Kentucky University, the Andre Dawson Classic in New Orleans. He's going to be on the call with Scott Braun and MLB Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.